Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week I'm simply going to tell Jean Pearson's cancer story. Yep, that's right, my mom. Let's get into it. Skylar, where are we right now?
We're walking, just left the Rose Quarter area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think you meant the Moda Center area.
Where are you mentally and emotionally?
I'm doing all right. I'm here to support my friends and loved ones.
That's great.
On this walk to end suicide.
What's the official name? The Out of the Darkness.
Out of the Darkness.
Portland suicide
prevention
walk. What does it say? Out of the darkness.
Out of the darkness.
Wow.
Into the streets.
Skylar, do you want to hear a story?
I would love to hear a story.
Because I don't know if you know the full story.
I don't know if I do. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we're joined here with Cal Pearson. There he is.
Hello.
And we got Joel, we got Paul, we got Kyle, we got family members. Got a lot of people here. We got about probably what? 5,000?
It was big. It filled up like the whole little plaza outside Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah. That was nuts.
It was cool.
So I wanted to take this opportunity to tell Gene Pearson's cancer story. Whoa, let's tell the story. I know, man, because I figure, guess what? There are different ways of processing this stuff, and there are different platforms to doing so. And this is one right now, this walk. This is what, you know, this is the point. This is about talking about it. And guess what? We also have a podcast too, so let's double it up. Let's double it up.
Out of the darkness. Into the podcast.
Right into the podcast. Exactly. So, yeah, so it's gonna be intense. It's gonna be nuts.
I'll stop joking.
No. You can keep joking. I think it's a healthy thing. But okay, so what it is now October 2018.
Yes.
So what about July 2017, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. We were on a family trip, Crater Lake, and we were on second to last day. We had been hiking, and then we were...
Second to last day of what?
Of the trip,
okay.
And we got some brunch. And then mom was like, "So that something to tell you." And I was like, "What? Okay, what is this? And she's like, "Now, you don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. Caught it early." And I was like, "What is this?" And he's like, "Oh, I have cancer." I was like,
"How are people letting this guy do this?"
But you caught it early. You're going to be fine. You said, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Okay. I won't worry about it. I won't. And so July goes, and then I think it was, I didn't tell anyone. Didn't tell anyone because I was like, well, it's like.
When did we go to Mount St. Helens? We went hiking, was that before Crater Lake?
That was before Crater Lake, yeah. And yeah, we went on Mount St. Helens maybe a few weeks earlier. And so, yeah, I didn't tell anyone because I was like, what? I don't know. She's like, I'm going to probably be starting chemo end of August or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until probably, it was like I was at Burning Man. And I was hanging out with my friend Emily. And she was the first person I told. I just like told her. And I was just like, whoa, weird. Like,
so awesome.
Just kind of happened. Yeah, just to say it. It was like, I wasn't even like. No, it was just like weird. It was just like strange. And then it was like on our drive back was the first time, like, I think she had just started chemo or something like that. Hair was starting to fall out, so she was wearing the beanie. And so that's when, like, she was like, first, like, oh, my friends kind of just like was like, oh, okay, there's something going on here. Yeah. And then, but you know, I go on as just everything is, you know, gonna be okay. I don't know, whatever. I mean, it sucks, but that's how it goes. And then, what? Starting September, like, we're, you know, we talk on the phone every like 2 weeks or something like that. And she's starting to get nervous. She's getting through the chemo. She says it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, that's too bad. That sucks. Like,
it
whatever.
It was eight rounds every 2 weeks a round. And about halfway through when she started something called Taxol, her anxiety level just went way out the roof.
And what was this that she was taking? Anti-anxiety medication as well.
Then she started getting kind of delusional in
her
thinking.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Yes, she started taking anti-anxiety to help her sleep. Actually started for sleep. Just to help her sleep.
Usually we use like a wire or something like that.
Then it just got...
Yeah.
It got worse. So what's your...
So notice how she started taking anti-anxiety. Her anxiety went through the roof. Interesting. And then so that started happening. I wasn't fully aware of what she was taking exactly. But found out after the fact, looked it up. You're not supposed to take that for more than like 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. She's taking it for like... 3 months.
Wow.
Something like that.
Is it because it's so heavy duty, like the nature of the medicine or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I mean,
or it's supposed to be a quick take it, stabilize, and then get off.
Because I think it was in the category of benzos or something like that.
Yes.
Yes? Yeah, so those are.
Lorazepam.
Lorazepam. So that started happening. Then we would talk still every few weeks. We would talk kind of both on the phone at the same time. You know, my dad and my mom, and then we would talk, and she's like, you know, I'm just really stressed, and I was like, you know, sorry. She wouldn't, like, she was a very private person.
Yeah.
She would take on, you know, this, like, kind of on her own. She started not having people, like, come over, see her. Like, even, like, my cousin Angie, like, would try to, like, visit her. They live really close by, like, and she wasn't into it, you know? She was just not into that kind of thing. Kind of fast forward to October goes by, and then we're kind of in November, and, you know, still talking on the phone. She's still, like, stressed, but, like, she's going through the chemo, tells me about how, you know, she's still taking the anti-anxiety thing, but it, like, kind of helps, but it doesn't. And they're like, oh, they kind of want me to try, what's it called? Starts with like a Z or something like that. What is it? No, it's the one that you just kind of take it and then it's like, it's like used by a lot of people. And it's Xanax. There it is. Xanax. And like, and she, for some reason she was like against trying Xanax, which was interesting. I was like, that'll definitely lower your anxiety, like, temporarily, for sure. I don't know. That's just a point. All right. Okay. And, we're doing that, and we talk about that. And then I visit for Thanksgiving, and this is when I would say I had, like, the last real conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what are some other
And this is... So we're like, bend us, please bend me. Oh, all right. Yeah. Usually there's a fire during one of these. So
yeah, tell the podcasters that's a squad one fire engine going by. It's fire engine squad one.
Fire engine squad one. We'll see you soon, Squad One. And so this is like kind of the first time where I'm at home, because like my life's going crazy during this whole time. There's just a lot going on.
Your life?
Yeah, my life up in Seattle, you know? It's like, did she ever ask to visit more? No? Did I like, you know, there's like all these things where you could be like, whoa, well, you could, anyway. So then visiting during Thanksgiving, this is the first time I really see like visibly like, oh, she is like not doing super well. Like just like, emotionally, the morale is low. And so there's this conversation we had where, like, she, like, asked me, she's like, Seth, how do you not, like, worry, like, about things? Like, how are you just, like, the world is going nuts right now? And I'm just like, I tell her, I remember I was like, see, we were just playing some music, I was just talking to her about it, and I was just like, she's like, I was like, so what do you worry about? She's like, well, I worry about, like, what's going on in the world, like politics and stuff, and I'm like, well, for that, I mean, I understand. A lot of people are freaking out about that.
Yes.
But it's like, but what I do, this is what I do, is I focus on my own community, like the people around me. What can I do? I was just telling you guys, I was like, what can I do right now? I can vote when it happens.
Yeah.
So that's what I worry about. That's when I have the opportunity.
Can do something immediately.
Yeah. Then I'll do it. But other than that, if I worry about it, it actually will only just take form inside of my body and will suck.
Yeah.
So I told her that, and I was like, she's like, how do you like stay like hopeful about, I don't know, like things get better. And I was just like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like optimistic like that. I think things will work themselves out. You know, I just think about what is best for myself, and then I just kind of do it. And so like that's why I do all the crazy shit that I do, because I'm just like, do I have this? Yeah, this is the best for me. This is like what I naturally want to do. So. Like, I'm going to listen to that and not worry about what other people think and stuff. And so it's kind of, you know, talking along those lines in different categories. And it seems like it's not really, like, fully getting through. She, like, sees, like, she's happy that, you know, that I have that.
Yeah.
But she's, like, she doesn't fully get it. And she's, like...
But hearing that doesn't impart it to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I, she also said, she was, like... Like, she's like, are you gonna be like okay, like if I don't make it through, like kind of a thing? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I've like gone to a point like where I'm just like so like happy with where I'm at, like proud of myself. Like I feel like I've like boom, like grown, like fully like grown up. And I said that. And then I was like, but also, Mom, you see my progression right now. Like, you've seen the past even few years. I mean, you've seen my life, but you've seen my past few years. Think of how cool that's going to be in, like, 5 years. Like, you have no idea.
It's going to get better.
It's going to be fucking cool. And it's like, so I was like, so you're going to want to stick around. Kind of stuff like that. And so, that was kind of that conversation. And because she was like convinced, she was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Like, I don't know. It's like, but Mom, all the evidence says you're gonna make it. Like, it's gonna be fine. So, cut to, go back home. It's December. I'm like moving. I'm like in this whole process of like moving my entire life. I mean, not that far, but you know, Redmond to Redmond, but still. It was like stressful. I was like doing a lot of the house setup stuff. I was like getting all the utilities ready.
It's a lot of shit to do.
It's a lot of shit to do. And then I'm coming back for it's you guys. You can still talk on the phone. This won't hear that. So. I'm driving back for winter break, driving down, and then I get this call from my aunt, and my Aunt Karen, and she was like, because I was excited to see her. She was visiting for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks. And she's like, Seth, just so you know, like, your mom is kind of delusional right now. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, she's like, she's not really thinking straight. And I was like, what do you mean? And like, you know, she's just telling me, like, not making sense right now. I was like, what? How did I not know about this? Like, what do you mean? Like, it's, it's like, how am I finding this out on the drive there? You know? And so I was like, oh, great. Here we go. Like, winter break. Let's have fun. And so I get there and, like, you know, within like 30 seconds, like, I just immediately, like, feel the energy, like, that's coming from my mom. And it's, like, super intense. Yeah. It's just, like, I'm like, oh, no. Like, yeah. Right away, I'm just like, this is not good. And, like, after a few interactions where, like, my aunt, like, I have with my mom, and then, like, my aunt, she, like, goes upstairs and, like, talks to my aunt. And then she's just like, just like, this is a real thing that happened. She's like, well, just so you know, your mom thinks she hates you now. And like, that you hate her. And I was just like, oh, man. And she's like, is this true? And I was like, no. They're like, damn it. I was like, okay, psychosis. Got it. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
You know, people get through it. This is a bad, bad situation, but still, like, people have gone through it. You know, Robbie's gone through it.
Yeah.
My friend Nack, he's gone through it. Like, it'll be fine, but, like, this is not good. And, like, so this like, visit turned into, like, really intense energies. Like, I didn't want to be in the house. Like, my dad and I saw, like tensions. Like, tensions just rising off the roof. It sucks. It's, like, weird dynamics between, like, me, my mom, my dad, my aunt, like, we were just all in this weird fucking place.
If you don't mind me asking, so, like, were you, like, talking? Were there conversations that were just really terse, or?
They were just very brief conversations where, like, I would, like, you know, ask my mom something,
yeah.
And then, like, she would, like, kind of quickly answer, and then be, like, I don't know, I'm just not thinking straight right now. Like, she was, like, aware,
yes.
But she was also, like, hiding it from me. She was okay. Really good at hiding, because, you know, just because you're in psychosis doesn't mean that you're not still, like, smart and,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can, like, plan and, like, strategize, right? So she was already starting to strategize, like, what was going to happen in a way.
Yeah.
So yeah, the dynamics was bad. I was still hanging. I would come out and hang out with you guys. And then we, like, checked her into, like, a mental health institution, Unity, which now is closed.
Yeah.
It's closed now.
Yeah. I've done stories on that. Yeah, that place.
Really? What would you?
I don't know what I want to say publicly.
Because
I don't know I'm not an expert on it. I think there were, like, understaffing issues, and staff were encouraged to not report safety issues for the sake of, like, whatever. I don't know.
Gotcha. Just bad, you know, just not the best. The point is, it's not the best. Who knows? But
great idea. Great idea.
Great idea. But
They also took her off of the lorazepam cold turkey.
Yep.
A week before.
Oh, yeah. The cold turkey did.
A week before her suicide.
So, like, okay. Yeah. Spoiler alert, suicide. So, we go there, we check her in, we stay there for a few hours. She
and
comes
this was
out.
The second time we took her there.
I didn't know that.
I took her there days before her surgery because she said she didn't need her surgery.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
I'm thinking that was in anticipation. She kind of had figured things out back then,
mm-hmm.
And was working her way up.
Yeah, she had her surgery.
So she felt that she didn't need the surgery.
Yeah.
Because perhaps, I'm speculating, and we shouldn't do that,
yep.
But perhaps she had already decided that she was going to end her life.
Yeah.
So
And after her surgery, she was gonna be fine.
Yeah, her the pathology after her after she died was that the cancer had not spread beyond the lymph node, the tumor in the lymph node that was removed. So she had a treatable breast cancer condition, and she would have been fine. It's all the anxiety that really and the drugs that I think contributed to her death.
For sure, absolutely. And so there's like two more days that I'm there, like during this, maybe two or three. And you know, there's a part where we're watching a movie and there's like fucking four back-to-back like suicide attempt scenes. There's like, and they're all hanging. They're all hanging. And I'm just like, I remember like watching it there, like with everyone, and just being like, like it's the like
exactly,
what
exactly.
Like I'm yeah. like this is
we
not
we
the
don't
best
need this right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, here we this. Are like it's yeah. it's happening. I was like, so that's weird. And so and then again tensions just continue to rise. Just, and if you've ever been around someone in psychosis, like it's not fun. Like, because for just a million reasons, their energy is fucking crazy. Just like on the get-go, like you don't even like need to talk to them. You just know, like fuck, like this is not good. And then once you talk to them, you're like, oh, this is even worse. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Because you can't reason, you can't reassure, really. Like you can, but like it's they can sense that it's not like. It's not, they know something's up when you're saying it to them too.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And then anyway, so then there's the night that I leave and I go back to Redmond cause I was going to like move like the next week. And like, you know, I'm like, she, you know, still throughout this, like, you know, she would occasionally like, you know, like come up to me, hug me and like, let me know that like, she loves me and all that stuff. And like, I remember there was a moment when I was like walking out of the front door. I was like putting my stuff in the car and she was like, Seth, like there's like this like thing. She was like she wanted to tell me or something like that. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, mom, I'll be like right back. I'll put stuff in the car. And so I put stuff in the car and then I come back. But at that time, everyone's at the door and it's like, all right, like, you know, like, bye, love you, bye. And so I like, I don't know. What was she gonna say? Who knows? And then I drive back Wednesday, and then Thursday I hang out with some friends. I hang out with this girl that I had hung out with once before, and we went to like this like improv comedy stand-up night that I've done a few times.
Okay.
And we have a great time. Great time. And like throughout this, I'm like messaging this girl and I'm like, she's like, oh, how's your trip? And I'm like, well, it's, I mean, I'll explain later, but like, it's not the best, but you know, it's great seeing everyone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, so I tell her that night, the Thursday night, and I'm just like, oh yeah, by the way, this situation, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. She's like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then anyway, so then Friday, rolls along. I'm going to be volunteering at Conscious Crew at the Resolution show, gonna do you know, helping people out in that. And and then it was probably, and I was just lying in bed because I didn't have anything to do really for the rest of the day. I was just like, I am chilling the hell out. and then get the call from my dad, and he's just like, you know, he's like crying, and I remember I like answer, and I was like, what's up, you know, because I'm just like, whatever, like I don't know. And then tells me mom killed herself by hanging. It's like, what the fuck? She's like, yeah, she's right here, right in front of me. Doesn't even look like her. It's like, wow, crazy. Like there's like a part of me in my head that, you know, just like that we all do. We all run through like the possible outcomes of different situations.
Yes.
And it's like, I feel like this came across in my head at some point, which I think helped, right? But
helped you prepare.
Yeah, in a way, in a way. Like I didn't actually think it, but it's like my mind naturally like, here's outcomes, like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So I find out, and then like, you know, we talk, and then I like, then we like hang up, and then I remember sitting there, and I was like, all right, before anything kicks in, like let's do a check in with yourself. Okay, so what what would be the things that would like mess you up, like for good? And I was like, okay, let's do it. Okay, so normally someone might let this like ruin their life for like months,
yeah,
or like in whoever amount of time. And I was like, okay, so we're not gonna do that. Great, boom, check mark off. And then I was like, number two.
Was this still when you're on the phone with Cal?
No, this was afterwards. Okay. This was, I was just sitting in my bed, just like lying there naked, just like at the end of in my bed. And I'm just like, okay, what's the other thing that would happen? Oh, you would think of the what ifs. Like that is what would drive someone insane. It's just being like, oh, what if I did that? What if I did that? Oh, what, eh. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. You're going to think about them, but you're not going to let it work. Like you're not going
to
let that.
How did you know that you needed to do that, run through that like checklist right then? That seems wildly just emotionally mature in a way that I don't know. It's kind of mind-blowing that you could do that.
I don't know.
Just instincts kicked in. Wow, that's very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I. And to this day, that has. That's been the best thing. Is that moment, that check-in, that is like, because it's just like, it's like I broke. It, like I've mentioned this to people. I do this a lot. I break the fourth wall of my own life. And I just think of like, well, let's like make this the best it could be. We're already here. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So like, and then just looking at it from that view instead of like, oh, it's me. Ah, you know, it's like, well, yeah, it's you. But also like, you have this mind that can change the like physical world around you that you see.
That's wild, man. That's crazy. Instead of reacting to it, you were establishing your own parameters of how you were going to move forward instead of just reacting.
Exactly.
From moment to moment. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know. I mean, I have my ideas, which I will explain here a little bit later. But so that happens, and then that one girl that I was talking to, like, hits me up, of course, like an hour later, and I'm just like, what is this? Like, what are all these timings? Like, moving, like this, like woman enters my life, like, and I tell her, I'm like, I don't know if it's like appropriate to tell you, but like, if you want to know, like, I have to go back to Oregon, blah blah blah, and then she calls me, I tell her, then she comes over. Uh-huh. So this is, I've hung out with her twice, you know, this is the third time she comes over. To my place, and then we like talk about it, and you know, she, just like you, you're like, wow, how'd you know how to do that? And like, even in this moment, like, of all this match, she's like, holy, like, you are like the most emotionally aware person I know. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's crazy, I don't know what the deal is. And I remember I was just telling her stories, like any other parts of my life, even, you know, just like, because I was like, I just met her.
Uh-huh.
And I remember telling her a story and then ending it, and I was like, oh, this is what it's going to be like. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I'm going to like be in the moment, and then I'm going to remember like what happened. And I'm like, oh, okay, this will be the cycle for a while. And it was like another strangely aware moment. It's just like, that's why people, you know, get into like addictions. That's why people get into like depression. Like, that's how they get into the cycle. They get entrenched in the idea of like forgetting about the pain. That is what it is.
It's the
pain. It doesn't matter what it is. People just want to forget it, and they don't know how to process it. They don't know They don't know what processing is. They think that they just want to feel better. They don't think, what's the best way to heal from whatever has happened?
Like solving an issue rather than just dealing with the pain that results from the issue.
Exactly. Or, yeah. Don't treat the symptoms.
Yeah.
Like, tackle the issue. Like, tackle the real underlying problem. But anyways, it's crazy because, like, that woman, like, became, like, my girlfriend. My first relationship. Or, like, standard, traditional style relationship. Which is wild. I still, like, think it's amazing she came over. It's, like, so, like, that's just wild. But anyways, so... yeah, that's, like, how it happened for her. And, like, how I've, like, since then handled it. I'm like, well, what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah.
So I had randomly, like, scheduled a cruise, like, an electronic music show cruise with my cousin, like, half a year later. That was going to be in, like, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I'm, like, back in Oregon. I'm like, you know, I'm calling people and I was just like, oh, there's like, man, I'm just gonna be calling people and telling them and they're gonna be like, wow, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, yeah, I know. There's not, I'm just, I'm letting you know. It's just, I know. And like, we have the memorial. I like give a speech and like, you know, all these people are like coming up to me crying and it's just like, guys, it's gonna be okay. Like, we're still here. Like, I mean, yes. Like, people move on.
It really was wild how you were the comforter at that service.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I don't know. And I feel bad that I couldn't have been more of a comforter for you. I know I've told you that before.
Oh, yeah. No worries, man. No worries. Podcast listeners, I'm sorry if it's loud as fuck right now, because this is the worst recording conditions I've ever witnessed in my life. Under a highway. Under a highway. I'm just going to fill the space with me complaining about the highway.
It's a nice view, though. We got a nice view.
Yeah, there we go.
A nice outlook on the river here. See, I don't know.
No, that's great. You know, Portland's growing. It's growing.
It's growing rapidly. We see a lot of cranes, a lot of construction cranes. And, okay, we're out of the highway.
Okay, we're pretty much out of the highway now. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I'm like, I noticed, I was like, oh, okay, I'm being strong for everyone else. Like, that's just how it is. And that's fine. I remember when I came home the day of, and like there was like 10 people in my you know, dad's house, and they were all just like, "Daddy, your mom loved you so much." And I'm like, yeah, I know, like, okay, thanks guys, like, thanks for coming over, that's really nice, but like, yeah, it's like, all good.
Were you like annoyed with having to, were you disappointed that you had to fill that role, or
no, not at all? I was just like, oh shit, yeah, you have grown up.
Oh shit, I'm a grown ass man right
now. Yeah. That's what it felt like. It was really cool. It was awesome.
So you were glad to have the opportunity to comfort people.
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, wouldn't you prefer being the leader?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. It's at least that's something that I've always wanted to be. So getting more to that role for people is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. So many people kept saying like, oh, just like, if you need anything, like reach out, or I would tell someone that I didn't know super well and they're like, oh my God, but if like, do you have people like you can talk to? And I'm like, I am like surrounded by like the best support group ever, and like that's amazing, right? That's the best. So I'm really thankful for that. But anyway, so ceremony goes, and like, you know, there's weird moments where you like see like the urn, like with the, like, her cremated, like, you know, ashes and stuff, and like, here's the part where we reveal it to the family, like, you come into the room and like look at it and stand around it. I'm just like, this is so weird. Like, what is this? Like, this is how we do things. Like, I don't know. It was more of like a peek into the, this is what happens when someone dies. Like, not like this, like, and this is your mother. Like, my mom's in a box.
Wow.
Yeah. Just in a box. Whoa. Okay. I mean, I don't know. You know, more into the spiritual side of things at this point. So, like, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, this is a nice, you know, a nice little symbol, nice little metaphor, but still, like, why are we crying around this thing? Like, this is too much. So I definitely, as you notice, like, I took a very, like, comedic tone, like, throughout the whole thing. Like, when someone would cry at me, I'd be like, yeah, I know, right? This is the worst. I wouldn't try to go overboard to be insensitive. It was just more like showing them, yeah, this is how one of my coping mechanisms, like, for
yes,
it.
Yeah. And you were helping others cope too. You were really diffusing a lot of, not tension, but, you know, you were helping people.
Yeah. The griefing process. So my cousin, and I think this is very important, is so like my cousin and I, we still went on the cruise.
Yeah.
And I had just randomly, like, this was going to be like the one of the few times this year where, like, I do MDMA, and I was like, and she's like, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, am I still going to do, like, is this the right? And I'm like, Seth, this is the perfect time. This is exactly, this is it. And so, like, you know, my cousin and I, we do it. We're, like, on Holy Ship. We're, like, at the noisiest set. And, like, you know, I start to feel it. What are we doing here? This is ridiculous. Okay. And, it, you know, it kicks in. And then, boom, I'm instantly, like, you know, connecting with more people. I'm telling everyone.
Oh, really?
I'm telling everyone. Like, people I just met. And they're just like, this happened a week ago, like, they're just like, oh my god. And, like, you know, it's just the point, this is the process of starting, like, tell everyone, like, get it out of your fucking system, like, like, don't hide stuff, don't isolate yourself.
So you were and it felt good as you were telling people, and that's why you just kept telling everyone you could.
Absolutely. There was this one guy, his name was Chris. I think his name was Chris. And I was hugging him. No, Steven. It was Steven. And he had a great crew. And I remember he was, like, a little shorter than me. I remember hugging him. I was just like, whoa. I, like, felt my mom hugging me through him. I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
This is where we're at. Like, this is kind of where, like, spirituality is, like, really sinking in here.
Yeah.
It was just great. And I was just like, I bet no one does this. Like, no one goes on a cruise right after this happens. I bet no one does it, like, and then does MDMA with, like, their cousin, gets closer with their cousin, gets closer with everyone around them, and, like, you know, like, has a gay guy, like, fall in love with them. Like, you know, it's like, who does that? But I'm like, but maybe more people should do this. Because this works for me. This is working for me.
Yeah.
And like, so then I just kept doing it. We got Cal Pearson to start coming along to shows. We got him to start doing MDMA. We resolved a shit ton of tensions between each other that just were not possible to resolve. It just, they weren't happening. There was, like, years and years of trying to resolve these things. But it's like, well, like, we had to do shit together, and we had to... Uh-huh. That looks like Thomas. Is that Thomas? Hold on. Quick, Thomas, hi. Oh, good to see you.
How you doing?
Doing great. You're on a podcast at the moment.
Give some wise words.
What do you
think
about that?
Today's not the day. I'm sorry.
I know it's not, but that's great. It's good to see you. Are you guys going to practice?
Yeah.
Today is... Okay, great. We're going to keep walking. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Very good. Goodbye, friends. Love y'all. Very cool. Off they go. Yeah, solving a lot of tensions. And okay, so you're saying, how would you, were you so aware of this?
Yeah.
So I think I have this like I don't know. How do you? So part of my podcast is talking about mental illness. It's talking about self-love. It's talking about reducing the stigma on all these subjects. It's also talking about this, reducing the stigma of different like psychedelic uses. That's kind of secretly also part of the podcast. So
secretly,
it's an open secret. But you mean don't like tell
the,
anyone
the therapeutic like
yes
yeah definitely yes. absolutely
and so like I think I've I don't know if I've told the story yet on the podcast, and I will at some point for sure in depth. God, why are there so many cars? Okay, and so when it happened, I was 25, right? It was going on 26. Yeah. So when I was 24, I got through the fear of death through like LSD usage, right? And I feel like, and like I've gone through so much other stuff, like intentionally through the use of these psychedelics, gone through things where, like talking it out with people, like talking it out with like potentially like a therapist, like it wasn't doing it for me. Like I couldn't, like some things would make sense when you would say it out loud, but like that's not how I felt.
So when you say intentionally, you mean you would like get acid or whatever and say like, I'm gonna deal with X issue or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much.
Plan your whole trip around that?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And it's not like I was like, I want to get this exact thing, but it's like, I want to take this on. It would be more like that.
Okay.
And so I feel like I've dealt with so much stuff, which I'll go into depth like another time, that I'm like now at a point where it's not like, I've gotten so much strength through it. Uh-huh. Like just immense strength that I'm like, well, this isn't gonna like, I'm stronger than letting this like ruin me, like bring me down. Like, how can we turn it around? So like after that happened, and after there was like the second memorial in like February, it was like February 17th, like the day after my birthday, super fun. Like where it's like the second memorial in like Minnesota or Wisconsin or whatever. And then I was just like, well, I remember I took the plane back and I was like, well, that's it. I'm gonna make fucking Love Amped website, like, because I had already been like giving people like, you know, self-love like sessions basically.
And then it was that trip that you came up with the idea?
Yeah, like the name and stuff.
Okay.
And started like doing the outline. And so I was like, well, so what you can do during the grieving process is like use your experiences to like, what can you do to help other people? Like, what can you do to da, da, da. And then it's like, so that was born. I didn't have the idea for the podcast yet. But then it was like through like going through like a unhealthy relationship that like, then I was like, oh, how can I help people like that? That don't have access to the people that I have.
Uh-huh.
Cause like the people in my life are what helped me a lot as well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, a podcast, anyone can listen in. And I'm basically like their little, you know, window into like this world of like, you know, everyone goes through this stuff in some way.
Yes.
So yeah, through that, I don't know, I'm good. Like, like I said, like there was someone that was like, when I was about to go on stage today, they're like, you gonna cry, man? And I was just like, probably not. Like, I didn't say it like in this negative way. I was just like, probably not. And then someone else is like, oh, but it's okay to cry. Like, you know that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, it's okay.
But a lot of people like, don't.
But they don't know.
A lot of people don't know, yeah.
They don't have the people around them that they feel safe being open about that stuff. So anyway, that's the point. Maybe someone from this walk will listen to this episode. I don't know. They shouted out the podcast though, and
they did, yeah.
Which was really cool. So yeah, that's basically the story, I think. You know, people, you know, she was like cut off from all sources of pleasure. She would tell me like she would listen to like this mix I made like every day. And then she was like, Seth, I stopped listening to that mix. And I was like, what? Why? Like, what'd you do? And she's like, oh, I just don't feel like... She just stopped walking. She was cut off from, like sex, right? Like, she had something, like, implanted or something where she couldn't have... Like,
diverticulum.
Diverticulum. Like, so... And, like, she would be cut off from conversations with friends. Like I said, walking. Like, so all sources of pleasure from life were cut off. So it's food. Food was another one, you know. So like it's never one reason. Like she was stressed about like finances, stressed about like the house being messy. Like there's like all these like aspects where she felt trapped. And like the only way out, it's the only way out, right? That she saw. So yeah, so that's the story. That's kind of the story. And so here we are. A lot of other people deal with the same shit.
Yeah.
And they're still here. I'm still here. We're still smiling.
We aren't only here. We are here on a bridge over the beautiful Willamette River.
Yeah. What a treat. Anything else anyone wants to say before we end this episode?
I just want to say your story is really an inspiration, man. You're the part where you were able to just like stop and kind of you set up your grieving process before, like while you were still in shock, which is just incredible. I don't know, man. Yeah, you're an inspiration.
Thanks, dude.
I just want to say that your feelings should serve you and you not serve your feelings. And I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more about how you kind of take charge of your feelings or how they affect you and what you do to deal with them.
So, like, what I mentioned about, you know, like, the core of a lot of stuff, like being self-love, which is putting yourself first. So like my mom is gone, right? So like that's happened. So why would I make that be a negative upon myself? Like, why would I let my emotions ruin me? And if there's anything in my life that I'm like unhappy with, that usually it's like stuff that something that I'm doing, or like I'm in a situation and I'm like, well, who put me in this situation? I did. And so like I can change it. So I constantly am trying to grow in the areas where I see I am weak. So I think that's processing stuff healthily, wanting to constantly grow, put yourself in a better situation, surround yourself with better people, be honest with what you want and what you enjoy doing instead of just thinking about what you think you should be doing, which shoulds are just shit.
Right.
Just like they are so, shoulds are shit. They're useless. If there's something that someone else wants you to do, like, why are they making you do something? Like, you don't, like, don't do it just because, like, there's, like, this pressure. There's pressures in life that you should do. And I felt like the less I've listened to those shoulds, the better my life's been. And the more I just do whatever the fuck I want.
How do you recharge? Like, if... You know, like, it's got to take a lot of mental energy to, you know, control your emotions like that and be so on top of your emotions. Like, how do you recharge?
I recharge through a lot of things. I recharge through exercising, not just the same type of exercise, but various exercising, movement classes, You know, yoga, running, lifting, rock climbing. Meditation's great. I want to meditate more. And so there's like that physical aspect.
Just getting physical and getting out of your head that yes. way and just kind of not thinking about anything. Just
exactly.
Yeah.
Facing fears. That's another thing that I've really taken on. It's just every time I'm like, I feel like, oh, I'm scared of something. For me, it used to be like social situations. Like people don't believe that anymore. They're like, is that your... Like one of the most social guys. I'm like,
yeah,
because I'm not scared of it anymore. That's simply the easiest thing I could do is be like, is one of the biggest things I profound experiences of my life is the moment I realized everyone else was scared.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, if everyone else is scared, what do I have to be afraid of? Yeah, exactly. If I'm like, oh, that's confidence 101. Like you just act like you're not scared and then like,
so you spooked to that boat a
exactly
little bit.
Exactly
the boat.
Yeah, see, boats are scared too.
Preach it, brother.
Preach it. Come on. Yeah, and then so that's why like doing improv, like getting out, like finding different ways to express yourself. So like improv, like through like conversation, I feel like I have a great time like expressing myself, you know, through more like intimate relationships, through like sex, like through like having like just like meeting someone for the first time and having like this vulnerable experience right away, like finding those moments.
And that's like a recharge for you. That's not draining.
Those are not actually draining to me. Like, if I'm in a conversation that is taxing, that I view as taxing, then it's taxing.
Like talking to me.
That's right.
This whole, like, whole
this whole thing. This whole thing. I'm like, Skylar, fuck. And then I recharge through, like, music events. Uh-huh. Like, those actually, like, give me life because I see other people, like, oh, they're doing the work. They're processing stuff. Like, there's, like, people. It's something as simple as, like, people that have, like, body image issues. And they go to a rave for the first time and they're wearing, like, a bikini and, like, some cool skirt. And they're, like, I have never done this before. And this is terrifying. But, oh, people are accepting me. Oh, people like it when I'm expressive. Oh, da-da.
Yeah.
Also, this music's dope. Great. Yeah, so that's where I find a lot of recharge. I find recharge in doing shit like the podcast. I find stuff like helping with Conscious Crew, helping people with Zendo. That's obviously why I'm trying to like make my life more about like helping people and inspiring people. Because, yeah, I love it. It's great. And no one else is doing it, you know, or not as many other people, so might as well be the one to do it. And what a great story, too. I mean, come on. And what else do I do to recharge? Grow? Yeah, I don't know. So it's like I don't have to recharge as much when I'm not doing stuff that I don't view as work.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's a good point. Yeah. So that's what I have to say about that. And everyone's wearing Nikes. With
a lot of Nikes.
A lot of black Nikes with white bottoms.
I got gray Nikes.
Whoa, I'm doing the same thing. Whoops. No, I
did. Like, machines, yeah.
Thank you. And what else? Yeah, conquering fears, trying to find leadership.
Well, I think one thing that's cool that you were talking, I mean, you can cut this out. You can just end the podcast. But
No, this is great.
I do not want anyone to know this compliment I'm about to give you, but you were talking about, like, everyone's scared, so why would you be scared? And I think being around in social situations with you, and ever since, like, high school and stuff, you make me less scared because of your, you know, like, you are like a lubricant, a social lubricant, you know? Like,
thank you. Wow.
That's cool.
Okay. Okay, we can walk slower. Thanks, dude. Here's the weird part is when people say that, then I usually am like, I mean, I feel like you did it first. Like, I feel like you did that first.
What did you say?
Yeah.
I said just, that's like a social lubricant. He's talking about how he realizes that everyone's scared in social situations, so he needs to not be scared. And I feel like when he does that, he becomes like a leader that gives us the power to not be scared as well, you know?
Yeah.
I still think back the first time, though, that we went snowboarding one-on-one. We're in the car, and I was still not, like, a sociable... I just feel like I wasn't in my, you know, sociable, like, prime or whatever. Uh-huh. And I feel like you were the one that made me comfortable. So isn't that funny, huh?
That's funny. I'm glad. I'm glad we're there for each other.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Thanks, though. Oh, yeah. I can't fully hug, but yes, it's great.
Big
yep.
Hug. All right. Yeah. Person hug right here.
Boom. Five person hug.
We got pentagrams.
Five signs.
The devil's.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, next thing. If you guys want to know, what's the next thing I'm scared of? Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Shit.
Okay, nice.
That's the next thing on the.
To
this. No, you can do it. You can do it around. You can do it around. I'm excited because who knows what's gonna happen.
That's the men's group thing.
No. This is separate. This is like DMT with like an inhibitor that makes it last a long time, and you process a lot of stuff. You get it out of your system, emotionally, physically. So there you go, podcasters. That's the story. That's where we're at. Thanks for listening. Here we are. Love yourselves out there. Whoa. Whoa.
Love, man.
Yep. Quite the story, huh? It's kind of one of the reasons why self-love is so important to me, or just seems to be another reason. Like, it just seems like life keeps compounding these reasons to care about this topic for me. And so, I have a lot of opinions on this whole thing. Like, you'll notice, like, over the course of the podcast so far, really delving into, like, questioning modern Western medicine use with, you know, daily fix your mind pills, and just with my recent, even like my experience with Accutane at 25 from recently November through June, and you know, that was something I took daily for 6 months, and like the last 2 months I experienced like side effects that aren't even listed like on the drug. Like, I experienced like erectile dysfunction, genital anesthesia, weak orgasm, and loss of libido. And I thought that I was going like, you know, like that just my body was just going crazy. And I would even, you know, talk to doctors and like ask them like, what's happening to me? Like, is it Accutane? Like, it's not listed. And then they're like, oh no, that can't be happening. And sure enough, you know, once I stopped taking that stuff, like most of that just went away. So, like it just shows like there are just side effects to these like daily medicines, and just that you have to be careful, with this stuff. And then not everyone's like looking out for your back, like how I see with like these doctors that have like prescribed anti-anxiety medications to my mom, and then just, you know, kind of willy-nilly just, oh yeah try this, take it. I don't know how often, you know, if she was checking in with these doctors on like how they, you know, they don't catch that, oh, anti-anxiety pills aren't working, maybe don't take them, like, you know. And, you know, and that's just one, you know, component of her story of, like, you know, how it ended up happening. You know, I mentioned in the story just, like, that she was stressed financially with the house, that she was stressed with, like, the state of the house, you know, being really messy. She was stressed about, you know, just worrying about me in general. There was stress about, like just how her appearance was, you know, with losing hair and stuff. Felt like her body was like, you know, worthless. And then of course, you know, you slip into psychosis, then it's fair game for all sorts of wild thoughts, to go through. Like, I don't think I mentioned during, the walk that, she thought that like she gave me a muscular twitching like disease, like a tremor thing, which was wild to experience, you know, last few days. How she was like, I'm pretty sure I gave you like a tremor. I was like, no, Mom, it's fine. And so, you know, she could have felt worthless like giving me a disease like genetically. And she even mentioned that, I believe, the like moments before she hung herself, she mentioned that to my dad, that she was like, I think I gave Seth a disease or something like that. And so, you know, it's like, and then the pre-exposed to like hanging, like suicide in a movie, and then you know, me going back to Washington, it's truly, it's like a storm of like bad things. But just saying, like, someone facing death, like, or at least thinking that they are going to die, like, and being stressed about that, and stressed about, she wasn't sure where she was at spiritually, was another thing. You know, she just kind of like went back into like praying again, which is like classic religious person that's not that religious, that is like, oh, but I'm still kind of religious. Like, I don't know. Then you're questioning what you think about religion. Like, so it's just a bad, it's just like, you don't want to like go into a bad situation and be like, am I religious? Like, that's not the time. Like, so it's like, it's a lot. And I'm just saying, like, when you're in those situations, like being exposed to the potential like benefits of like psychedelic usage, could absolutely help. And it's, you know, it's just a shame that she wasn't able to experience that. And I'm not saying that that is some like tried and true path, but just like, I don't know, it just keeps coming up and helping me and others. So I hope that if anyone's listening that doesn't know about any of this, that, you know, they'll look into it, check it out. So yeah, thanks for listening. I will continue to spread self-love to others, and just hope no one has to be in this type of situation, because it's not the best. But, you know, everyone can be strong. And I feel very authentically strong. You know, others can do it too. So, love yourselves out there, guys, and keep on loving out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.